You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. We are back and we are ready to go today. I'm excited to try. What am I excited to try? It's time to
rate that crumble cookie
with Dell.
With Dell?
Oh! He's here! What's up, Dell?
Yes.
Dell, welcome to the Uncanceled Podcast. Wow. Dell, why don't you say hello to the people? It's on.
You're good.
The people. Is it on?
Yeah.
What's up, people? Where am I looking? Oh.
Camera's right there. You can't hear yourself the way that you would hear me on a Wednesday because Ben muted it in the house.
It's not necessary.
Yeah, it's not necessary. So they can hear it. They can hear it though, just fine. But we got Dell. Dell is one of our Impact students. He is one of our M&M's Impact Mentorship Program is what that stands for. Yes, Dell.
Are we gonna leave that first clip in?
You're in it. You're in it. He wanted to know. Dude, how could you not? That was a great entrance.
That's great.
That was a great entrance.
It's been a little while since we've had a stew on.
Yeah, no, I thought that it'd actually be fun if we got like a couple different like students and leaders on the pod, like just like for the next couple like weeks.
Love it.
Get them on for Rate That Crumble Cookie. It's a great opportunity.
It is.
Everybody likes Crumble Cookie. Who doesn't like Crumble? You're a little weird if you don't like at least like try a crumble cookie every now and again. It's pretty cool. Yeah, try one every week. Here we go, Ben. Let's see it. Let me slide it over. Oh, wait. No,
are you out of your mind? You gotta guess the thing.
Oh, right. You don't slide over first. Yeah. It's after. Okay. All right.
I think you're good on this one. I think you'll get it.
Are you, do you know what it is?
No.
Okay, so maybe should I give him an opportunity? Oh, I think I'm going to know what it is. Ooh. Oh, my gosh. Dude, you really think I'm going to get this?
Yeah. I think you can get there.
Do you have a guess?
He said he knows what it is.
Oh, you know.
You scrolled once and he was like, oh, I know what it is. I want you, Dell, to point to the one that you think it is.
All right. I'm gonna talk it out. It's not the raspberry cheesecake because Ben doesn't like cheesecake like that, and that's not a cookie. That's not a cookie. The maple cinnamon square would be my pick because it makes the most sense. It's not a cookie, so it can't be that one. The brownie batter is not going to be it either because Ben would not just pick it. He's going to say, "Dude, it's literally just a chocolate cookie. Why would I pick just a chocolate cookie?" That's exactly what he's going
to.
But that's what you're going to say. You're going to say, you're literally going to, if I say that, you're going to be like, bro, it's just a chocolate cookie. Why would I get a chocolate cookie?
Like that either.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. You know what? That's it. It's between the caramel pumpkin cake and the fried ice cream. For me, you don't like pumpkin. That's the only thing. But the thing is it makes the most sense that would be the one that you would get. Over fried ice cream. I don't even know what that would taste like, but that's so unique to get fried ice cream at the same time. I don't know why you're so sold that I'm going to get this. It's definitely between those two. It has to be. I'm going to go with... I always get it wrong. I get here and I get it wrong. I always guess wrong. Caramel pumpkin cake.
Let's find out. Are you joking me?
Are you serious?
Dude, what do you mean are you joking me? I don't know which one you're gonna pick.
That's tough. No, I really thought you were gonna get it. Here's the thing, right? I don't like pumpkin. I don't.
Right, I knew that, which is but you've said before, like
but
I'm
here's
not gonna
the thing. If it was between something I didn't like and something super boring, I'll get the thing that I don't like.
Yeah.
But this is interesting.
I agree.
What is this
going
to be about?
I would have thought that it was, I thought you should have chose the fried ice cream.
I did.
But I was like, I don't think he did.
No, that's tough, man. Sorry.
That is tough. What?
If I could add on this, I mean, the list was between, you know, I've been with Ben after he's chosen the cookies. I've heard his thought process. Like you said, he wouldn't go with the chocolate one because that's just straight chocolate.
Right, it's just straight chocolate.
He wouldn't go with the other one because that wasn't a cookie.
Right.
Cheesecake, you can have that whenever you want.
Right, right.
Right.
You can
also
get
not a cookie.
A pumpkin caramel, whatever the heck that was, at Starbucks whenever you want. When are you going to try fried ice cream, bro?
No, I agree. I don't disagree with that. I just didn't think you were going to go in that direction.
I really thought you were going to be like,
oh, it's fall, like caramel
like
pumpkin. I don't know.
Today.
It is like 80 degrees out.
I'm
but
sweating.
All right. I mean, we're here.
We're here for it
at the end of the day. I'm just going to try and grab one of these. This is going to be so weird.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome, sir.
Oh, I know what this is going to taste like. I have an idea. Let's go.
Mm. Mm.
That's good.
Mm.
Really good.
What is the crumb?
Doesn't taste like fried ice cream.
The crumminess.
You know what it tastes like?
What?
Tell me. What am I going to say?
I don't know, but it definitely tastes like something.
The cookie that we had a couple weeks ago, the cinnamon cookie that I gave a 10 out of 10.
Oh, it doesn't taste like that one as much.
It does to me.
There's a little bit. I think the cookie is like cinnamon-ish. Your thoughts?
I think it tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It tastes like fudge tastes a lot like fudge.
Fudge?
The brown is fudge. I'd bet $1,000.
Oh, would you?
Yes, I would. It's fudge.
That is not... Wait, oh, you mean like not chocolate fudge.
No,
you
not,
mean like the texture.
Yikes, Del. It's a cinnamon cookie.
Oh.
Good thing I don't have $1,000.
Good thing that, like, I maybe said that before we even did that. It tastes like the cinnamon cookie that we had a couple weeks ago.
I'll tell you what. I really like that streusel on top.
It's very good. What was that cookie that we had?
Cinnamon something. Churro. Right?
You're telling me that doesn't taste like that.
It tastes similar. I think it's a little bit different, but it does have cinnamon.
I have a complaint.
What?
My complaint is, how is this fried ice cream?
You ever had it?
Yeah.
I haven't.
It's usually fried ice cream is vanilla ice cream with crushed up cornflakes fried.
Well, it's vanilla frosting with the crushed up stuff.
But where does the cinnamon come in? There's usually not cinnamon in fried ice cream.
What do you want the cookie to be?
A vanilla cookie.
With what kind of frosting?
Here's the thing. Do you want to stick with the flavor profile or no? That's the thing. I kind of feel like it was a dumb cookie choice.
You're just mad that you got it wrong.
I'm not. I'm not mad that I got it wrong. I just am upset.
Cookie police.
I'm upset about the. Why choose that? Why a fried ice cream cookie? Like, pick a better flavor. Do it better if you're gonna do fried ice cream. I'm not okay with it.
I think it's a good cookie, and because I've not had fried ice cream, I don't really have a complaint.
It tastes delicious.
It.
No, it tastes delicious. That's not the issue.
Sure.
Just why call it fried ice cream?
No, I get
it doesn't
that.
Taste like
that's
fried.
Tough.
Like, oh yeah, like we have a strawberry shortcake cookie, and then wham, you get hit with chocolate, and you go. Why is there chocolate on a strawberry shortcake cookie? Because there's no chocolate in strawberry shortcake.
I'd like to make it known, I guess, right.
So. He did. He did.
Delrick Santos, everybody. From a flavor point of view.
No, it does taste good.
This is an amazing cookie. Yeah, I mean, I would eat the entire thing. No questions asked at all. I just, unless I've never had like proper fried ice cream before, like, I don't think that this is fried ice cream. I'm going to look it up. Let's look it up.
I guess it is interesting that there'd be, like, cinnamon in there. I remember having a better time when we had the cinnamon churro cookie than this, but it is somewhat similar, but this is still really good. It's still really good.
I'm not seeing anything about cinnamon in fried ice cream, but maybe, I don't know, maybe the people in the comments can tell me
what
if I'm wrong.
In the comments? We don't get any comments.
Nobody comments. That's true. Nobody comments. Nobody
they
comments.
Should.
They should. It's a scoop of ice cream coated in egg, then rolled in crushed cornflakes and vanilla cookies. That's what it should have been. Yeah. It could have been a vanilla cookie with vanilla frosting and crushed cornflakes. Would that have tasted as good? No.
Right. If you're crumble, you're not going to go vanilla.
No, you're not. But also, like, I'm just calling them out right now. Don't do that one then. I'm upset.
You are.
I'm upset.
I think I know what it traces back to.
It has nothing to do with the cookie choice.
Ben. What's up? No, well, definitely.
There's nothing to do with the cookie choice.
definitely not that.
Dude, I'm nasty at not. I'm being mad about that.
I'm nasty at guessing the cookie.
No, I'm not. I'm not nasty at that. I'm like,
it's a hard. It's a hard job.
Like,
no, I think it's more like just under 50%.
I think
you're 3 for 8.
Yeah, so just under 5. You're right. I'm going to get back on track next week. I promise. But I'm ready to give it a rating. And
We didn't even do that.
I'm ready to go. I think we should have our guests give a rating first. Go ahead. Give it a rating out of 10, though. Go ahead.
I love it.
I think mine's going to be higher than yours because I've never had fried cookie.
Go ahead, yeah.
Or fried ice cream. It just tastes like a good cookie. I like it. Probably like an 8.4. I like that.
Oh, an 8.4.
I like that. I really like that from you. You know something that I just got hit with a little bit?
What?
The Holy Spirit. I got hit with like a like an aftertaste, a little bit of fried ice cream.
Well.
And I like was like, wait, what just happened to me?
Look at that.
Man, you go ahead. What do you got?
8.5. That's where I was at, and that's what I'm gonna stick to. I think it's a very, very solid cookie, but it doesn't hit 9 for me.
Yeah. I feel like this is too similar to the churro one, and the churro one was better.
Churro one was definitely better.
The churro one was better. I'm also, as I've made it known, I'm a critic here of the choice from Crumble. I do not like that they did a fried ice cream cookie and then inserted their own flavor that they decided to put into it. I'm gonna go with an 8. I still think it's a good cookie. I'd eat the entire thing. Yeah. It's 8. That feels right. That feels right.
Yeah,
to be between 8 and 8.5.
I like that.
Del, do you have any comments?
No. I liked it.
Did you enjoy your time?
Yeah. I felt included. Okay. Tasted the cookie. I definitely will not be eating more off camera. And y'all boys have a good podcast.
Well, we got to start like doing a thing where like we say stuff on this and we have like, you know how we both have the stickers that we send each other?
Just flash it up.
Flash there. The sticker.
That's good.
Like up there.
That's good.
And stuff. Me and Ben pretty much only communicate in that.
It's true. It's probably super annoying like to other people, but we find it funny.
I'm nasty at being super annoying. No, I'm just kidding. Dude, do people like in high school get that reference?
Yeah, I think I'm surprised you guys got the reference. I'm gonna be honest.
Okay, all right, no, that's fair. I said it today in class, and no one got it.
Well, you teach at a prep school, a Christian prep school. So.
Yeah, but we also have like a ton of basketball recruits that like and stuff that come from like AAU and stuff. I guess maybe not. I have no idea. I don't know. I was actually upset. I made a really good remark today. There were some kids that were talking, and you'll think it's funny if you know that there were some kids that were talking, and. I was like getting annoyed a little bit, but instead of like yelling at him, I just walked over to him. I went, "Bro, you're nasty at writing a 5-page paper on this topic." And they were like, "What?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh." And then at the end of class, I was like, "Oh my gosh." I was like, they were talking again. I was like, "Oh my gosh." I was like, there's no way I would ever give you assigned seats in this class. And then I side-eyed them. They were like, I was like, how do you not get this? Anyway, that's it for Rate That Crumble Cookie. Thank you so much for tuning in. Love you guys. And you guys are going to have an awesome teaching today from Ben. I'll see you guys next week.
Yes. Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Bible teaching portion of today's episode of Uncanceled. There's still some crumble cookie crumbs on the table, but that was fun. Fun to have Dell with us for rate that, and that was a good time. I'm excited to do this teaching today. Pastor Joey texted me a little bit ago and asked if I wanted to do the podcast, and I was just thinking about this topic the other day and kind of wrote some things down, and the Lord kind of showed me some different things. So I'm excited to talk about this. The title for this podcast is going to be Principles for Breakthrough. Principles for Breakthrough. And really, I'm going to talk about personally something like super exciting that's happened in my life and that I've been believing God for a long time that I'm super, super grateful for. But I'm grateful for Pastor Joey asking me to do the podcast, and I'm thankful to be here. It's going to be a good time. And I hope that it blesses you. But principles for breakthrough, I'm going to talk about some different things, some different principles that produced for me this full-time job at Faith Church. If you didn't know, on the 15th of August, I started full-time here at Faith Church, which really is like a dream for me. And I couldn't be more thankful. I'm thankful to Pastor Frank, and I'm just thankful for this church. And it's amazing to me that I get to come here to work every day. Like, it doesn't feel like work. I get off of work and it's like, okay, like I don't feel like I did any work, and I'm so, so grateful to the Lord for it. But as I have taken time to reflect on, now that I'm here, on some different things that kind of produced this or kind of provoked this full-time position, and I want to talk about those things, and with the understanding that these things are principles that can be applied for, you know, a variety of topics and anything that you're really believing God for to see actually manifest in your life. And certainly this isn't an exhaustive list of, you know, biblical principles to see breakthrough and to see the promise of God like realized in your life. But there's some different things that the Lord kind of prompted me to write down and to talk about. And so I'm excited. Just like very quickly, I really felt in 2021 at Heatwave a little bit before that, Pastor Joey and Brianna became the youth pastors here in May of 2021. And before that, Pastor Joey asked me if I wanted to serve and if I wanted to just help out. And immediately, there was a connection. And I've talked about that before, but immediately there was a connection and where, like, I just really felt to help out and I really felt to serve, you know, under his ministry. And I just started serving and just started helping out wherever I could, started coming whenever I could, doing whatever I could do. And that Heatwave in 2021 really, really felt like the call into ministry and the call to serve underneath Pastor Joey and everything that they were doing. And at that point, I was a volunteer. And I just kept serving and kept, you know, doing whatever I could do, being here wherever I could be. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that, and I was really believing God for a long time for a full-time position and just really looking forward to a full-time position because I knew that God had called me here. And it finally, you know, came to be in August. And I say finally, you know, not like finally, but it came to be on August 15th, you know, just a month and a few days ago. And it's been amazing. And I'm so, so grateful to the Lord for it. But I think that this will be helpful because there are things in our lives that we're believing God for that we may not see manifest right in the moment. And that's not to say that God can't do something quickly or that he won't do something quickly. You know, that's not to say don't believe God for healing in your body right now. You know, don't believe God, or I'm not saying don't believe God for healing in your body right now. I'm not saying don't believe God for breakthrough in your family right now. Don't believe God for breakthrough in your finances right now, whatever. But there are times where there is a pruning period, and there's times where there's opportunity to grow before you step into the thing that God has called you to do and before you see the thing that God has promised you or the thing that you've been believing him for. And so I want to talk about principles for breakthrough. First thing that I want to talk about, again, within the context of what has really produced or provoked this full-time job for me at Faith Church. The first thing I have the first principle, go where God has called you to go. Go where God has called you to go. You know, this is something that Pastor Joey teaches the students at Impact Youth. You're, you know, probably a student or leader watching this, but this is something that you've heard a lot, is that God has a specific task for your life. God has a specific plan and purpose for your life. And that plan and purpose and task is tied to a geographic location. It is tied to a specific place. Let's go to the Bible, because this is a Bible podcast. Amen. In Genesis chapter 22, God was testing Abraham's faith, and he told him to go and sacrifice his son Isaac, which God had no intention of actually letting Abraham go through with that, because God isn't like, you know, other religions where they require that kind of stuff. But regardless, God told him in a test of faith to go and to sacrifice his son, and Abraham was going up to the place where God told him to go. And before he went to actually sacrifice his son, there was a sacrifice in the form of an animal that was provided for Abraham. So in place of Isaac, his son. And the Bible says this in Genesis 22:14. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." That is one of the names of God. And people love this name of God. I love this name of God because it's such an encouraging name of God. And it shows such an awesome part of his character, that he is a provider. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, God will provide all my needs according to his riches. Hey, you need to stay up. God will provide all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So we know that God is a provider. And how awesome is that? How encouraging is it that God, I don't even need to like pray for my needs. I know that you're going to take care of that. I don't have any needs, God, because you provide all my needs. That's something that more recently I've really been meditating on and thanking God for, is that God, you provide all my needs. I'm not going to be concerned about, you know, bills at the end of the month, or, you know, student, you know, costs, or whatever the case may be. God, thank you that you're my provider, that you will provide all my needs, just like your word says. A lot of people love this name of God, Jehovah Jireh, and it is a wonderful name, but we miss the second half of what it means. Abraham called that place, the name of that place, "The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." Notice that. On the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Where has God called you to go? Where has God called you to go? The thing that God's tasked you to do, if you found that out, wonderful. Find out where God has you to go and go there. Don't just find out and not go, but go where God's called you to go and go there. Like he told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." When God called Abraham, then Abram, he told him, you have to leave your family and go to the land that I will show you. Go to the place that God has called you to go. If you want to see breakthrough, and if you want to see the thing that you're believing God for in your life, be in obedience to the instruction that he's given you. You know, I knew that the Lord called me to serve underneath Pastor Joey and Brianna in their ministry. I knew that God called me here to Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut. I knew that God called me to serve this ministry and to serve it very well. It would have been foolish if I, knowing that God wanted me here, went to any other state or any other church and tried to serve that ministry. It wouldn't have worked. The hand of God wouldn't have been on my life, and there wouldn't have been doors open to me, because I wouldn't have been in full obedience to what God had called me to do. Pastor Joey preached on this last night, and it was a phenomenal service and sermon from him on making impact in your generation and actually doing something for God, and that it requires full obedience. And he talked about King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15. King Saul, he got an instruction from the prophet Samuel and ultimately from the Lord to go and to take out Amalek, this you know, nation and its people, and devote everything to destruction, to completely wipe it out. And Saul, he went and he took the place, he conquered the land, but he didn't completely wipe it out. He did part of it, but he didn't do all of it. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:19, Samuel asked him, "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you not do what God asked you to do?" And Saul says in verse 20, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and I've devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen and the best of the things devoted to destruction to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Samuel, the instruction was, Saul, go to Amalek and wipe everything out. That was the instruction. And Saul went and he did part of it, but he spared the king and he didn't kill all the animals. And then Samuel said, why didn't you obey? And Saul's like, well, I did. And Samuel's like, no, you didn't. Look at the king's right there and the animals are right here. You didn't do what God asked you to do. You didn't carry out the full instruction. And the Bible says this in 1 Samuel 15:22, and it's powerful. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. What do we take away? God wants full obedience. God wants full obedience. If you want to see the thing that you're believing God for in your life manifest in your life, be fully obedient to the instruction and the plan that God has laid out before you. Do the thing that God's called you to do. Do it well. Go to the place that God's called you to go and don't, you know, delay. And, you know, if you're a student watching this, then right now you're, you know, under the covering of your parents. And I'm not by any means telling you to just, you know, run away if you feel like whatever, but do the thing that God's called you to do in your high schools. Do the thing that is God calling you to start a Bible club. Do that thing. Do the thing. Carry out the instruction that God's given you fully and give your all to it. And that is a great way to see breakthrough and to see blessing and to see the hand of God on your life. Go where God's called you to go. I know for sure that if I, you know, felt the call into the ministry and felt the call to serve this house and this ministry, what if I just like left? What if I was just like, that's great. I'm going to go to South Dakota. Like what? The hand of God wouldn't have been on my life. I needed to stay here and be faithful here to see the thing that I was believing God for, to see the fulfillment of what I was believing God for. So go where God has called you to go. Go where God has called you to go. Be fully obedient to the instruction that he's given you. Number two, the second thing I have for you, principles for breakthrough. The second thing I have for you, remain faithful and thankful. Remain faithful and thankful. Kind of two things in one, but as I was preparing, kind of just fit together. Remain faithful and remain thankful. It really is, and this is one thing that I can really see, you know, now looking back, is the importance of stewardship and the importance of remaining faithful in the little, and God will give you much more. That's what the Bible says. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, says, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. And again, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is telling a parable about stewardship, about using the things that God has given you well. And he says this, Matthew 25, 29. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Why? Because the one who has put things in place and is doing things to make sure that he's doing with what he has well. He's stewarding what he has well. And the Bible says that when somebody stewards what they have well, when somebody's faithful over the little, much more will be given to him. But the one who's dishonest in little and doesn't steward and isn't faithful in the little, even what they have will be taken away. That's powerful. There's a great book that I've been reading by Bishop Dagg, Haywood Mills, about that very scripture from Matthew 25, and it's been blessing me. But the importance of remaining faithful, the importance of stewarding what God has given you very well. And when you do that, much more will be added unto you. Where do I want to go here? Great. I, again, like I said, in May 2021, Pastor Joey Mariana became the youth pastors here, and I really felt connected to the vision and felt connected to them as the heads of the ministry and just wanted to serve. And so I found myself doing just that, I was here whenever I could be around my work schedule. I, you know, was doing whatever I could from my phone or my laptop when I, you know, wasn't here. Whatever I could do, you know, setting up chairs, like doing administrative stuff, cleaning stuff, whatever needed to be done, I was doing it, and I wasn't, you know, discontent in doing it. I was happy to do it, and I just began serving, and I was faithful at the level where I was at that time. And I had in my heart at that time, I want you to know, I had in my heart at that time that one day there would be a full-time position opened up for me, that one day it would be an actual paid thing. But at the time, it wasn't. At the time, it was just on a volunteer basis. But what did I do? I was faithful on that level, and I began to just serve, and I did everything to the best of my ability, and I did everything unto the Lord, and I did everything with a cheerful heart unto the Lord, and it was great. And what ended up being produced out of that? Well, I don't, maybe like a year and a half or so of just doing that, and obviously like working elsewhere. But of just doing that. And then a year and a half later, there was a part-time position where I began to get paid on a part-time basis for the things that I was doing for Impact. And really nothing changed. I just continued to be faithful. There was more responsibilities added that I, you know, remained faithful in there. And I just did my best there and did it unto the Lord on that level. And what was produced, you know, out of that? More promotion. And then eventually this full-time job came as a result of remaining faithful in serving on the level that I was at the time. And again, I wasn't, you know, being lazy. I was working. I was working, you know, in volunteering here, but I was actually like working a job, you know, elsewhere to make money and to provide. I wasn't being lazy, but I was doing the thing that God had called me to do at the level that I could do it. And I was doing it to the best of my ability. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And this is where I wanted to talk about remaining thankful as well. Remaining faithful is so important. Because somebody, you know, somebody who hasn't shown a track record of faithfulness isn't going to be as trusted as somebody who's remained faithful in the little. And then there's trust there to give much more. Like the Bible says in Luke 16. And so that's so important, is remaining faithful. Remaining faithful. Do everything that you can do at the level that you can do it. And when you steward that well, much more will be given to you. But also, while you're at the level that you're at, don't be bitter about it. When I was, you know, just a volunteer, like it's, you know, some bad thing, it's not. When I was a volunteer and when I was not getting paid to be here and to do the things that I was doing, I wasn't like, you know, setting up the chairs with like, you know, bad attitude and whatever, you know, like I wasn't like cleaning or doing administrative stuff like with a bad attitude. I was very thankful because I knew that ultimately this is what the Lord had called me to do. And I was glad to be able to do it. I was content to be able to do it. And I'm so thankful to the Lord. You know, if I'm not careful, this will just turn into me thanking God on the podcast. But like, I am so thankful to the Lord. Because like, it's still mind blowing to me. Like I've been here for a month and 4 days, and it still like doesn't really like make sense in my brain that like this is my job, because it doesn't feel like that at all. And it's awesome. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for it. I'm so grateful to the Lord for it. But I was thankful even, you know, when I was just a volunteer. I was so thankful when that part-time position opened up. I was thankful as things kept progressing and progressing. And as I kept remaining faithful over time and in the level and on the level where God had me, I was thankful and I did it to the best of my ability and I did it unto the Lord. And over time, that kept producing. And now this full-time job is here. And I'll tell you this as well. I am so thankful for this position. And I'm, you know, not going to, it'd be foolish for me to, you know, kind of just like relax and be like, I made it. That'd be dumb. I know that there's more that God has for me and I'm excited for that. But while I'm at this level, I'm going to remain faithful and I'm going to remain thankful to the Lord. It's awesome. It's awesome. Remaining faithful and remaining thankful to the Lord will produce breakthrough in your life. you will see the thing that you're believing God for, whatever it is. You know, maybe you're believing God for a car. Steward, you know, you have a car right now and it's a little beat up, whatever, and you're believing God for a greater car, you know, a nicer car, whatever the case may be. Remain faithful to that car. Steward that car well. Take care of it. Keep it clean. Get the oil changed. Keep gas in it. All those things. Take care of it well and be thankful to the Lord for that car that you have right now. Thank you, God, that I have a car that takes me to work. Thank you, Lord. You know, we're so blessed here. We're so blessed and God's been so good to us. Do you have a place to sleep? Do you have clothes to wear? Do you have food to eat? You have something to be thankful for. The Bible says, give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We can thank God, and being thankful for the things that God has given us will produce much more. When Jesus fed the 5,000 in Matthew chapter 14, this happened. Matthew 14, starting in verse 16. Again, a multitude came to Jesus. They were listening to him talk for a while and they got hungry. And the disciples came and said, hey, everybody's hungry. What do you want to do? And this is what Jesus said. Matthew 14, 16. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. They, the disciples, said to him, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he, Jesus, ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Other translation says he thanked God for them. He took what he had and he looked up to heaven. He said a blessing. He thanked God for them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. That's pretty clear that it's more than 5,000 people. We say the feeding of the 5,000. It's very clearly much more than 5,000. Anyway, what happened? Jesus had a little. And what did he do? He thanked God for it. And what was produced out of that? A miracle, like a multitude, a mass multitude, a stadium full of people getting fed out of 5 loaves and 2 little fish. Why? Jesus thanked God for what he had. He didn't look at the fish and the loaves and say, what are we going to do with this? How is this going to do anything? This is worthless. This is nothing. No, he thanked God for what he had. And what happened? There was great multiplication. When you're believing God for greater, and you should, because God has great things in store for you. Don't forget and don't neglect being thankful and being faithful, but being thankful and content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Be thankful for what you have while you believe God for greater and while you believe God for better, because God does have greater and God does have better for you. But in the meantime, be thankful for it. You know, believe in God for a great job that pays a little bit more. Wonderful. Believe God for that, you know, within the calling that he's placed on your life. But right now you're working at a grocery store, or you're working at, you know, whatever, a pet store. I don't know why that was the other thing that came into my mind, but it was. While you're working at that grocery store or that pet store, remain faithful to it. Steward it well. Thank God for it. God, thank you that I have a job. Thank you that, you know, I'm able to make some money. Thank you for this body that you've given me that I get to work with. There is so much to be thankful to God for. Remain faithful and remain thankful. A principle for breakthrough. Number 3. Man, I love this one. Number 3. Confess in faith. Confess in faith. Actually speak out of your mouth what you're believing God for and thank him for it out of your mouth. Confess in faith. What you say matters so, so much. I've talked about this before. It's something that I just feel so strongly about. What you say matters so much. What you say matters so much. It can either build your faith, or it will either build your faith to receive, or it's going to, you know, plant seeds of doubt in you and discourage you and keep you from receiving the breakthrough that God has for you. Your confession matters so much. What you say matters so much. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. The Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. What are we talking about there? Literally, what you say has the power to produce death. What you say has the power to produce life. What are you believing God for? And does that belief line up with your confession? I'll tell you. You know, a while ago, a long time ago, I really felt stirred to just begin to confess and thank God for this full-time position that's opened up for me at Faith Church. And that's exactly what I did on a daily basis. You know, very often, I would just lift my hands and say, thank you, Lord, for the full-time position that's opened up for me at Faith Church. And guess what? While I was confessing that, you know, years ago and whatever, I didn't have a full-time position at Faith Church. But I knew what God had called me to do, and I knew where God was taking me. And so I thanked him afar off. I thanked him in faith. I confessed it in faith and just said, God, it might as well be in my hands. I know it. I know it as sure. God, thank you for this thing. Do that when you're believing God for something. Just thank God for it. Confess your thankfulness to God for that thing. God, I'm believing you for my student loans to be paid off. God, I'm believing you for a better job. I'm believing you for, you know, this breakthrough in my family. I'm believing you for this family member to come to know you. God, I'm believing you for impact in my high school, that we're going to see so many people saved. Whatever the case may be, thank God for it. Confess your expectation in faith. God, thank you that my student loans are paid off. God, thank you that my family members come into a saving relationship with you. God, thank you that my high school is going to be saved. God, thank you for this thing that I'm believing you for. And you'll watch and you'll see as that confession builds your faith up and you'll receive the thing that God's promised you. You absolutely will. What you say matters so much. And I'll tell you this too. There were times over the course of the last few years where I didn't have this full-time job. And there were times where I was discouraged that it wasn't ever going to come. But this is what I didn't do. I didn't let that discouragement out of my mouth. I didn't let that unbelief out of my mouth. And when I was feeling discouraged, you know, working the job that I was working, you know, wishing and looking forward to when I was here, I didn't say, I just wish that I could be there already. Like, I don't know if it's ever going to happen, you know. You know, why would that ever happen? Like, maybe I missed it. You know, maybe, you know, it might not ever show up. Like, who knows when it's going to happen, whatever. I never let it out of my mouth. Those are the moments. Let me tell you, when you're believing God for something and it seems like everything else is screaming at you that that thing isn't going to take place, that is the time where you lift your hands and you just say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this thing that I'm believing you for. And you'll watch and you'll see as God meets your expectation of faith and you'll see the thing manifest in your life. You'll see the breakthrough that you're believing God for, because God's a faithful God. The Bible says that he watches over his word, waiting to perform it, that he's not a man that he should lie or a son of man that he should change his mind. The Bible says that no word that God has spoken will ever return to him empty, but it will accomplish what he's purposed and succeeds in the thing for which he sent it. If you're believing God for something that's Bible-based that you can find in the scripture, confess that scripture, thank God for that thing manifesting in your life, and you'll see it happen. Your confession matters so much. Amen. Amen. Do I want to read any of those? No. I'll read this. Don't ever let your doubt or unbelief or discouragement leave your mouth. If you have thoughts that come into your mind that are contrary to what you're believing God for, you know, you're not feeling well in your body, but you're believing God for complete healing and complete turnaround in your body. And you have thoughts that it's never going to happen, or thoughts, you know, I've been believing God for it for such a long time, and I just don't know if it's ever actually going to happen. Don't let those things out of your mouth. If it's a thought in your mind, take that thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And the way that you do that is by doing what Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil. He spoke the word to the temptation. He spoke the word. Speak the word. Speak the word only. When you're discouraged, or when you're tempted to say something that is going to lead you to doubt and in the opposite direction of the thing that you're believing God for, don't let it out of your mouth. Instead, believe God in faith. Confess your expectation in faith. Romans chapter 4. This is so awesome. Romans chapter 4. Oh yeah, I wanted to read it out of my actual Bible, so that's what I'm going to do. Romans chapter 4, verse number 18. This is talking about Abraham. Romans 4, verse 18. God promised Abraham a child when he was very old and when his wife was very old, when it was far past the natural ability for him and his wife to have a baby. God said, you'll have a baby. God said, you'll be the father of many nations. The Bible says this in Romans 4:18 about Abraham. In hope, he, Abraham, believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations as he had been told. So shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Notice that. The Bible says that Abraham considered how he was old and how Sarah was old and that she was barren because she was old and because she hadn't had children up until that point. The Bible says that Abraham considered it, but it says that he didn't weaken in faith when he considered it. Maybe he had those thoughts. God promised him, Abraham, you're going to have a kid. And Abraham had those thoughts of, I don't really know how that's going to happen. I'm kind of old. Sarah's kind of old. But the Bible says that he didn't weaken in faith when he considered it. I'd, you know, be willing to bet that Abraham never let that out of his mouth. And we actually read it. Verse 20, the Bible says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Let me encourage you, as you're standing and believing God for whatever you're believing God for, that is, you know, a Bible belief. When you're believing God for it, if you've had thoughts of unbelief or thoughts of doubt, or people speak thoughts of unbelief and thoughts of doubt, first of all, don't be discouraged by those thoughts of unbelief. I'm not saying to let them hang around and to let them just sit in your mind. But if they come, don't beat yourself up for having a doubt. You know, God's promised you something. God's spoken over you that something's going to take place in your life. And then, you know, you have a doubt, a thought of unbelief that pops in that, you know, I don't know if that's ever really able to happen, whatever. Don't beat yourself up, you know, if that thought pops into your head. Instead, do what the Bible says that Abraham did. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. He grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. I see you giving glory to God and growing strong in your faith as you're believing God for the thing that you're believing him for in the face of anything or anyone that might be telling you that that thing can't happen. Keep your faith. Keep your expectation. Give glory to God. Thank him for the promise ahead of time. Even if it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, confess your expectation. Let the words of your mouth and the thoughts of your heart be pleasing unto God. Amen. 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 Last thing I have for you. Principles for breakthrough. Principles for breakthrough. Last thing I have for you. Number four, sow seed. Sow seed as you're led of the Lord. Sow seed as you're led of the Lord. Talking about financial seed. When I was not yet working here full-time, I had the part-time position, and I wasn't yet working here full-time. There was a night where I remember I was in my car and I was praying and just thanking God for the job and just, you know, giving him glory and praying for the job here and just believing him for it. And I really felt the Lord challenge me, how would you sow differently when you receive that promotion and when you receive that blessing? And I really felt stirred to increase my monthly giving into a certain ministry, like I would if I had the job already, because I knew that there was going to be, you know, promotion and blessing with the job. And so the Lord challenged me, how would you sow differently? What would you do differently if you were in the thing right now and do that thing right now? And so I did. I increased my giving like I would, you know, when the blessing came, I increased my giving. And it wasn't more than like a week or so later, you know, 2 weeks later, something like that, that I got a really encouraging report about this job, that it was, you know, going to open up for me just a little bit, you know, just pretty soon. And then, you know, it wasn't two or three short months later that this position opened up for me? What was a factor that caused it? I was obedient and I sowed seed believing God for the thing that I was believing him for. And it produced. Seed produces. Seed produces harvest. Seed produces harvest. Seed produces harvest. Seed produces breakthrough. Why is that? It's a principle all over the Bible. The Bible says this in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Let me encourage you, because I've encouraged myself in this, in the Lord. If you've sown seed, financial seed, and you're believing God for harvest, let this scripture be an encouragement to you. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. As sure as the sun is going to set in a little bit and then rise up again tomorrow morning, unless Jesus comes back to get me first. And even, you know, even if Jesus comes back to get me, the sun's still going to set. But anyway, as sure as the sun is going to come up tomorrow, seed that you've sown will produce. Seed that you've sown in obedience and into good soil will produce. It will. As sure as the sun is coming up tomorrow. Why? The Bible keeps on saying it. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Seed time and harvest is a principle in the Word of God. It is a scriptural law that will not be mocked. The Bible says that in Galatians chapter 6. It says, God will not be mocked. Don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. It's a spiritual law, and the Bible never fails. Taught my Bible class that the other day. The Bible never fails to do what it says. What's one way we can know for sure that the Bible is the authoritative Word of God? When you put it into practice, it actually does what it says it'll do, and it never misses. Seed time and harvest is a spiritual law, and seed produces breakthrough. You're believing God for, you know, a new job that's going to be a financial blessing to you. Put some seed behind it. As the Lord leads you, you know, this is by no means like trying to pressure you to give to Impact Youth or Faith Church or whatever. Do it as the Lord leads you, but be obedient in it. If the Lord is prompting you, if the Lord is prompting you to sow a seed, God's not prompting you to sow a seed so that you can be broke. God's prompting you to sow a seed so that he can bless you, so that this scriptural law can be put into practice in your life and you'll receive far more than you sowed. Pastor Joey gave this analogy last night. But when somebody sows an apple seed, one apple seed, that one apple seed has the potential to produce a massive apple tree. And even think about this. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. One apple seed, you plant it in the ground. It sprouts, huge tree, bunch of apples. What's inside each and every apple? Much more seed. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Thank you, Lord. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Amen. Seed produces breakthrough. Seed produces breakthrough. Seed produces harvest. Much more than you sowed, you will reap, because the Bible says so. Why else does seed produce breakthrough? Another reason, it shows God that you're not in it for the money. The Bible says this in Matthew 6:21. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It'll show God, God, I'm not in this thing for the money. I've told that to God before, and I've said that publicly before, and I'll say it again. I serve this ministry because I know that God has called me to serve this ministry, and it is the joy of my life to serve this ministry. And if all the, you know, I did it before I got paid, I did it when I got paid a little bit for it, and I did it now that it's a full-time thing. And if everything, you know, if the job was taken away, you would still find me here as much as I possibly could be to serve this ministry, because I know that this is where God has called me to do, or this is where God has called me to be, and this is what God has called me to do. Seed, sowing seed, shows the Lord that you're not in whatever you're believing him for the money. And it shows him that you actually have, like, you know, a vested interest in it. That you actually like believe God for it. If you're believing him for a greater, you know, a better job, that's going to be a financial blessing to you. Put some seed behind it. If you're believing God for a car, put some seed behind it. For a house, put some seed behind it. For, you know, your student loans to be paid off. Put some seed behind it. Put some seed behind it. Sow into the kingdom of God. And I, you know, I just asked Pastor Joey if he'd be okay with this, and he said he would be. There is a great, great event that Impact Youth is putting on. It's called the Back to School Bash. And this is an opportunity for you to sow. I was doing the teaching, and I was talking about sowing seed, and I called Pastor Joey. I cut it out for the sake of the podcast, but I called Pastor Joey and said, hey, would you mind if I gave anybody watching an opportunity to sow seed? He said, yeah, go for it. So, this is what I was just talking about. Seed produces breakthrough. Seed produces breakthrough. This is an event, because one thing that's important for seed, you want to put it into good soil. You want to put it into soil that's actually doing something, that's actually going, you know, is fertile to produce. What, you know, how does this relate? When you're sowing financially into the kingdom of God, you want to make sure that you're sowing into a place that is actually going to do something beneficial with your money so that it produces. And so we have this event at Impact Youth. It's called the Back to School Bash. What are we believing God for? What is your seed going to go into? Because you'll have an opportunity to sow. What is your seed going to go into? It's going to go into, the vision behind this event is to see this area won for Christ. To see this area won for Christ. To see entire high schools come to know Jesus as their Savior. Students, teachers, principals, staff, everybody. We're believing God for a great thing. These students at Impact Youth, you probably watching this if you're a student, fired up to go win your high schools, handing out thousands of mini invites to this event. We're putting on a great event where we're going to give away a ton of stuff. There's going to be a ton of fun stuff going on, food, all that kind of stuff. A great, great time. But what is going to happen at that event? We're going to give people an opportunity to respond to the gospel and to get right with Jesus. And we're believing God for well over 1,000 people at this event. And we're believing God for a great number of people to make a decision to follow Christ and to give them their life. And so there's an opportunity for you to sow. Whatever, you know, if you're believing God for something and the Lord is speaking to you right now to sow into this event that we're putting on, that Pastor Joey, you know, got the instruction from the Lord and is putting on, you can sow into this event. Let this not be, you know, something that you feel pressured to do. Pastor Joey's been very clear about this, said it, you know, 100 times, and it's absolutely scriptural. God is going to provide every need for this event. You're not providing for the needs for this event. God is our source. But this is a wonderful opportunity for you to sow into something that is going to produce a great harvest of souls. And you will see harvest on seed that you sow. Why? As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will be in effect. It is a scriptural law, and God's word never fails. If you want to sow into the Back to School Bash, you can, let me think, go to faithchurch.cc/give. And as you give, make sure that you choose Impact Youth from the drop-down menu. faithchurch.cc/give and choose Impact Youth from the drop-down menu so that we make sure that it goes to its proper place. Amen. 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 I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you that as you put these principles into practice and just continue to believe God and be steadfast in your faith, that you'll see everything that you're believing God for, everything that God's promised you, come to pass in your life. And I'm going to pray for anybody who's sowing seed that it's going to produce. Amen. Father, I thank you for every person that's listened and watched this podcast today. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that everything that they're believing for, God, I come into agreement with their faith. And I thank you, Lord, that they'll see it manifest in their life. God, just as I saw you open up this job for me, this full-time position at Faith Church, I thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God. And I thank you that you will show yourself faithful to your people. God, I thank you for everything that everyone is believing for coming to pass quickly in Jesus' name. And Lord, for everybody that's sowing seed today, I pray in the name of Jesus that their gift would return back to them. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, just as your word says, in Jesus' name. We thank you. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. Really hope that this teaching blessed you. Love you. Be back next week. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Uncancelled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncancelled. God bless.